Our thoughts and prayers are with the many families in Morocco who have lost loved ones. Such devastation from the earthquakes that hit there. And I'm not sure of the total as it was continuing to add up. Well, this hopefully will be an opportunity for these people to turn to God and learn the truth and obey the gospel. Our lesson this morning will come from Luke chapter 23. The name Pontius Pilate, of course, is well known. We remember him as the Roman governor over Judea, who allowed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to take place because the mob of Jews present that day in Jerusalem in AD 33 were very much determined to have Jesus put to death. Now, after Archelaus, son of Herod the Great, Matthew 2:22, had reigned over Judea 10 years, he was deposed by the Roman government, and Judea then was placed under procurators sent out from Rome. Well, Pilate was the sixth of these, and was appointed in the 12th year of Tiberius Caesar, or about 3 years before the beginning of John's ministry, as you note in Luke 3, verse 1. Now, procurators would be what we would term governor, in a very similar type office. I want to note Matthew Henry's commentary on Matthew chapter 27, as he had the following summary of the character of Pilate, and of course the Jews, their attitude toward him was not very well received. Now, this is the quote. Pilate is characterized by the Roman writers of that time as a man of a rough and haughty spirit, willful and implacable, and extremely covetous and oppressive. The Jews had a great enmity to his person, and were weary of his government, and yet they made use of him as the tool of their malice against Christ. Very well put, I believe. Now Josephus, a Jewish historian born in AD 37, recorded the following about Pilate in the Antiquities of the Jews, his famous volume. This would be under 60. But Pilate undertook to bring a current of water to Jerusalem, and did it with the sacred money, and derived the origin of the stream from the distance of 200 furlongs. However, the Jews were not pleased with what had been done about this water, and many 10,000s of the people got together and made a clamor against him, and insisted that he should leave off that design. Some of them also used reproaches and abused the man, as crowds of such people usually do. Now 61. So he habited a great number of his soldiers in their habit, who carried daggers under their garments, and sent them to a place where they might surround them. So he bade the Jews himself go away. But they, boldly casting reproaches upon him, he gave the soldiers that signal which had been beforehand agreed on, now 62, who laid upon them much greater blows than Pilate had commanded them, and equally punished those that were tumultuous and those that were not, nor did they spare them in the least. And since the people were unarmed and were caught by men prepared for what they were about, there were a great number of them slain by this means, and others of them ran away wounded, and thus an end was put to this sedition. And this is page 430 of the works of Josephus. And in the next paragraph, Josephus reveals an important statement concerning Christ. and that he also was brought before Pilate after the above account. Well, we want to study this morning lessons from Pontius Pilate, and we want to apply what we learn and avoid his mistakes. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. We know that stands for Preparing for Eternity. What more important thing could we be doing? That is the most important, is it not? Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit with a proper attitude and in truth in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Thus, we see that in John 24. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would really appreciate that opportunity, getting together and studying from God's Word. And so let us know and we'll set that up at your convenience. And we look forward to having that opportunity. Now, something else we want to mention, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. Again, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study this morning as we're going to look at Pontius Pilate and learn not to follow his mistakes. We're starting with Luke 23, verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. So Pilate had some good in him. Notice what Pilate had said before the people to the chief priest in saying and being correct. I find no fault in this man. Well, that's the truth. Jesus was without sin, perfect, the Lamb of God that was led to the slaughter. So he tried to persuade the people to let Christ go free. Well, you know, he didn't try hard enough. That's the problem. He tried to save Christ from the angry mob, yes, but he didn't try hard enough. And how many people today think they are justified in the sight of God because they've tried? Many have tried to understand the Bible. Many have tried to obey the gospel. Many have tried to live the Christian life for a while, but failed because they did not try hard enough. Isn't that the case that we see? Well, that's what we're seeing, is it not? Not trying hard enough. Pilate's good was not based upon godly principles. That's the problem. And he did not pass the test in time of crisis when he gave in to the Jews who cried out for the blood of Christ. And therefore, he was just as guilty as they were. Does not everyone have some good in them? Even serial killers. Yes, the worst kind of people we can think about have some good in them. But to be righteous and justified, one must be forgiven of their sins. Notice Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, meaning they had been baptized into Christ. But you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name, in the authority of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. James 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. What kind of works are we talking about in this verse? Is a man justified? Works of righteousness, of course, not works of merit, trying to earn one's salvation. No one can be good enough to be saved without submitting to the gospel of Christ and having works of righteousness. That's the point. And faith-only teachers need to look hard at this verse and give up their false teaching. Not by faith only. Who missed it? No one should. But let's go on. Pilate tried to shift his responsibility as we go to verse 5 now. Excuse me. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. This is what they were saying about Jesus. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. So Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, hoping to be relieved of the undesirable situation he found himself in. After Herod's soldiers had their fun, they sent Jesus back to Pilate. Remember what they did there in verses 8 through 11? Yes, they mocked him. And that's a sad situation. Arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Sad situation. And in verse 12, in the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at intimacy between themselves. So they became friends instead of being enemies, as they formerly were. Now, in Matthew's account, chapter 27, you'll see in verses 24 and 25, Pilate washed his hands to declare himself free from innocent blood. This was weakness and hypocrisy on his part. Is it not our responsibility, our duty, to fear God and keep his commandments, as we study from Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon finally came to the proper conclusion after experimenting, trying to find happiness in life apart from God, and he failed miserably. It's all vanity, he found out. And he came to the proper conclusion to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So Pilate tried to shift his responsibility. And what about us today? Do we try to shift our responsibilities to someone else, as parents, as workers in the Lord's vineyard, for example? Are we doing that? Well, it's time to change if we are. Whose responsibility is it to convert the lost outside the church? And those who have left the church, whose responsibility is it to get them back? We're under the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. We're to restore such a one in meekness and fear. Of course, in restoring the lost, Galatians 6:1, James 5:19-20. So let's learn from Pilate's mistakes. And here's another one. Pilate tried to compromise, as we go to verse 13. Excuse me. Verse 13 of Luke 23, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Isn't that interesting? Verse 15, No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. So Pilate tried to compromise. He sees Jesus as having no fault. Yes, you see that in verse 4. You see it again in verse 14. And you'll see it again in verse 22. Pilate is going to have an innocent man beaten in order to compromise with the mob of Jews. Yes, he agreed to have Jesus scourged, and then he would let him go. How unjust this man Pilate was. And notice in John's account, John chapter 18, I want us to note these verses, as this is what Pilate had to say about truth. 37 and 38 of John 18. Pilate therefore said unto him, Jesus that is, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Well, Pilate was like many today who see truth as relative and subjective. Can't really put your finger on it. You see, he didn't expect an answer from Jesus, because he turned around and walked away. But we need to understand this, especially we need to be teaching this to our young people. Truth is absolute, not relative. Truth is objective, not subjective. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We better be believing Jesus, not what so many are saying today. But the point here is Pilate changed justice to injustice by trying to compromise. Truth and right cannot be compromised. Theistic evolution is a compromise. God created all things in 6 literal days, not eons of time. There was no gap. 6 literal 24-hour days. Do not compromise the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Proverbs 23:23. We must not turn loose of it. All congregations of the Lord's church must uphold the truth to be faithful congregations. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There it is. So all Christians, we need to remember, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 10:26. 1 John 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But let us go on. Here's another lesson that we can learn from Pilate's mistakes. Pilate refused to make his decision based on his convictions. picking back up with verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will release, therefore, chastise him, and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Note that. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, that would be Barabbas, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Again, note that. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Pilate refused to make his decision based on his convictions. He believed Jesus was innocent. He found no fault in him. Stated that three times. Pilate would do good if others would, but when the angry mob would not do good, Pilate allowed numbers and noise to influence him to forsake his convictions. In Mark 15, verse 15, Mark's account, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. John 19:12, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. John 19:12. Remember how the Jews felt about Pilate as we started out our study. Now, you see the situation here as a crowd is going to decide justice. Well, is that right? Justice is not to be decided by a crowd, a mob. That's not what we want to see, is it, today? We see in the news such situations. What about the numbers and noise of the denominations, religious groups formed by man, not the church that Jesus purchased with his precious blood? And it's his body. He is the head of it. He's the foundation. And he purchased it again with his precious blood. It should be his body, his church. It's his kingdom. But so many do not see it that way. So are we going to listen to the crowd, the noise, the numbers, the denominations, and those in religious era? We must not allow them to influence our stand for the truth. Galatians 1:23, If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And study Galatians 1:6-10. Even if it's an angel, we're not to forsake the truth. You see, that's not going to be the right thing to do. To make our decisions based on what the numbers and noise are hollering and, you know, trying to get across, that's not going to please God. Notice, young people, as you are being tempted, you know, the crowd wants to go to the dance. Let's have a drinking party. Or let's gamble, you know, and Let's give in to the woke philosophy and recognize transgenderism is okay and people can have same-sex marriage. That's okay now because society says so. We're listening to the numbers and the noise if we give in to that. Stay with our convictions based on the Word of God. We must hold to those convictions if they're established, of course, on the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. That's what we hold on to. Not being conformed to this world, being sucked in, as so many are. Our culture is rapidly changing. And things that were looked at as perversion are now acceptable. Not in the sight of God, they're not. Well, we've learned from Pilate's mistakes not to do what he did. I want to close with Brother J.W. McGarvey wrote the following in his commentary on Matthew and Mark. The man who betrayed him into the hands of his enemies declared him innocent, and the judge who pronounced the sentence of death declared him in the same breath a just person. Never did such circumstances attend the death of any other man. They attest with a force which no honest mind can resist the unspotted character of Jesus. Thereby they attest the truthfulness of his claim to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now, to summarize, what have we learned about Pilate? Clearly, he did not have a high regard for life, just as many today with abortion, suicide, mercy killing, killing someone over little or nothing. And thus, our study has revealed, one, Pilate had some good in him as he tried to get Jesus released, but he did not try hard enough. Number two, he tried to shift his responsibility. Number three, then he tried to compromise justice for injustice, having Jesus scourged. And four, finally, he refused to make his decision based on his convictions. What's right? And therefore, he did not succeed being so close to virtue and to glory. We must not be like Pilate, but succeed by being followers of Christ who died for us. And something else to emphasize is this: Barabbas was guilty of murder and robbery. He was set free because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the innocent Lamb of God, was put to death. And we too are guilty of our sins. Have you obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you in doing so, and we'll study further with you from God's holy word, and we thank you so much for listening today.